Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I am going to be discussing the big food awakening. When I say big food, I mean it like the conglomerate mess of corporations, CEOs, and politicians who run our current food system. I want you to know right now that these people who run the system do not care about your health and your well-being. They care about the bottom line and how much money they can generate. I am happy to know that people are waking up to this. They are starting to see the reality of it. I woke up to it a little while ago, and now I am trying to share the good message to help others in their health and well-being journeys. I grew up in a home where processed food was abundant. I went through a public school system where they ordered in Domino's every day for children's lunch. Yes, every morning in class, we would raise our hand if we wanted pizza so then they could count us and see how many pizzas to order. And they would just order that amount for lunch. I just, even thinking and discussing this is insanity to me, but we have been brainwashed to think this food is normal, and I was born into it. I transitioned to the quote-unquote real world when I went to university, and I was still surrounded by processed food and inundated with quote-unquote big food in the cafeterias and friends who didn't even question the system either. The change starts with us right here and right now. So let's dive in. You have probably heard the phrase big pharma when people discuss the medical system. Big pharma and big food go hand in hand. So it is important to know this as we go throughout our discussion today. So big food, that conglomerate of the CEOs, the politicians, they sell us the problem. They get together with the food processors, Kellogg, you know, all these brands, Mars bars, Crisco, all these brands that make the food for us, a majority of the foods, Coca-Cola's, and they partner up with Big Pharma, who sells us the solution. So Big Food sells the problem, the food. Big Pharma sells us the solution, the medications to remedy what the food damage did to us. We are in a society bombarded and choked with prescription medications. I'd go as far as to say the pandemic in 2020 isn't what we should have focused on, but instead we should have focused on the pandemic of Big Pharma and Big Food. There are constant medications being rolled out. And do you know how much Big Pharma makes off of us being sick? Billions and billions and billions of dollars. So they roll out these new medications. You've seen the commercials where they go through what the medication does, and then really quickly they go through all these crazy side effects, increased suicide, abdominal bleeding, all these crazy things. But they frame it and market it in such a way that you need it or it's going to fix this ailment. And it's absolutely insane. That's the pandemic we should have gone after. I mean, look at all of the people who are drug induced and on the streets and addicted to heroin and cocaine. And let's see, what's the one that is up and coming right now? Fentanyl. It is insane to keep just shooing this under the carpet and never dealing with it. And do you think an industry like this that profits off of people being sick, having mental illnesses, would want people to better themselves and become healthy? Absolutely not. This takes us to the time-held quote of food is medicine. So if one of the largest industries in the world makes money on sick people, it would only make sense that they would do everything in their power to ensure people don't use food as medicine to better themselves. They want to make sure that people don't use food to heal themselves. Food truly is a medicine, but this knowledge has been lost and discombobulated over the past century. Big Pharma knows this, and that is why they work hand in hand with Big Food to keep you sick and unhealthy. It's important to know when we're speaking about Big Pharma and Big Food, they are separate, but the people who run it, they are tightly intermingled. So the families who own Heinz, for example, or Mars bars, or Coca-Cola, they are well intermingled with Big Pharma all these pockets, everybody has their hand in each other's pockets. So keep that in mind. They want that bottom line. They want money. They don't care how sick you are. And that is sad. So that is why we are going to dissect this. If I was in charge of running Big Food as if it were my own business, here are five things I would do to keep people sick, you know, keep my clients happy. I'm working in Congress and I got to keep the congressmen happy because they have backdoor deals with someone in Big Pharma. And, you know, I'm Big Food. This is my business. I got to keep it going. Number one, I would start running smear campaigns. I would set up campaigns to convince people that real nutrient-dense food that they are eating is not good for them. And I would offer better, quote unquote, better alternatives. Instead of eating the animal fats our ancestors have been eating for thousands of years, like butter, lard, and tallow, I would run campaigns and pay off doctors to convince people that these fats now cause heart disease, raise cholesterol, and are the wrong thing to be feeding your family. I would instead suggest to use things like margarine and vegetable oil. Number two, this goes hand in hand with number one. I would convince people that raw milk is dangerous. I would pay to have campaigns run that incite fear, like saying raw milk has killed thousands of people and illness has broken out because of contaminated raw milk. It is susceptible to dangerous bacteria. So instead of drinking what our ancestors have drank for thousands of years, drink milk that has been pasteurized. Drink milk that has been zapped at such a high heat that everything in it is void of life. We actually have to fortify things into this. This is the only way to safely drink milk. Don't you want your family to be safe? This is definitely for your safety and not for a multifaceted bottom line. Number three, I would go after and target development in the early stages of life. I would pay doctors to convince mothers that formula is better than breast milk. It's okay to supplement formula. Instead of educating women how to have nutrient-dense breast milk to help baby during development, I would create these formulas from seed oils, preservatives, and milk byproducts. I won't even use full-fat milk because I know that the fats are what helps baby's body and brain develop optimally. I would use the fat to make other products and money and then use the leftover garbage milk to make formula. I would also know how damaging and inflammatory seed oils are, so I would make sure to chalk this early stage of life food full of them. I would pay the FDA off and whoever I needed to ensure that these foods hit the shelves. I would actually go meet with the FDA to ensure that it is mandated by law for baby formula to contain industrially manufactured seed oils. I would go and convince medical practices to recommend this baby formula to mothers. By doing this, I also benefit my best friend, Big Pharma, because I am helping generate people who have suboptimal starts to life and hopefully a lot of health issues. Number four, I would infiltrate the schools. I would ensure that businesses I own are the go-tos for school lunches. I would understand that most parents are not involved in what their child eats at school, and I would make the most of it. I would make lab-made meat, patties, packaged instant pastas, and other processed garbage slop to feed the children in the government-ran schools. I would approach my friends on Capitol Hill and see what I need to do to get school contracts for school lunch. I wouldn't stop at the school lunches, though. I would dive into the textbooks and teach about health. The same campaigns that I ran in the early 1900s about butter being bad and raw milk being dangerous, I would be sure to instill that into textbooks to continue on the cycle. I wouldn't want the upcoming generation to know that eggs are nutrient-dense, wonderful food to consume. I would scare them by saying having more than 2 eggs a day will raise their cholesterol and lead to heart disease. I would write in the books that eating red meat is as bad as smoking a box of cigarettes. The children know cigarettes are bad, so I need to make a comparison. Number five, I would convince people that bad food is normal. This is my last and final step. This processed food that makes you sick needs to be normalized, and the people who seek real food and grow their own gardens need to be ostracized and considered crazy. Because of all of my other carefully crafted steps leading up to this, it should be pretty simple. I have ads running on the screens of every child and adult showing perfectly healthy people drinking soda or children drinking Capri Sun, running around having fun. I have doctors who are telling their patients that red meat is unhealthy because that is what they read in their medical school textbooks. Remember, I bought those out too. I have politicians passing bills in my favor because I have enough money to fund whatever I want. Now, children's sports games will have Sunny D and Gatorade for refreshments instead of mineral water or real juice or real food, like a hard-boiled egg. I, Big Food, have won. I want you to reflect on all those steps that we just went through of how if I was running Big Food as a business, how I would keep people sick and in the system. They may sound familiar, all those steps we just went through, because they are actual tactics that have been used by Big Food to infiltrate our system over the past 100 years. Now, processed and junk food really is the norm. And true story, I still remember sitting in freshman health class and my teacher saying, you can't have more than 2 eggs a day because the cholesterol in the egg yolks will be your maximum and high cholesterol will lead to heart disease. He was unhealthy himself. So what was his business doing there teaching a health class anyway? We need to normalize that unhealthy people don't need to be giving health advice unless they are on an active journey to better themselves. That really doesn't make any sense for somebody who's unhealthy to be giving health advice, like when you go to the doctor and your doctor's obviously sick. Anyways, I wish I knew then what I know now. I would ask him, if they really were a cause for heart disease, then why did heart disease skyrocket after the smear campaigns in the early 1900s that steered us away from traditional diets filled with animal fats and foods like eggs? Why did the incidence of heart disease skyrocket when the consumption of these foods plummeted? That doesn't add up at all. So now that we understand a little more about what Big Food is and how it has deceptively operated the past 100 years and continues to operate, let's use some real world examples and how we can be aware of it for ourselves. Something to keep in mind too is that the people around you, especially when you start waking up to the reality of food, the reality of Big Pharma, just our reality in general, people are going to push back because it makes them uncomfortable. You drinking raw milk challenges their beliefs. You eating raw eggs or you doing something that is not a system norm challenges their identity. And so expect that people will attack you. They will degrade you. They will call you crazy, but you're not the crazy one. You've just woken up to the system and know that everybody has been conditioned and brainwashed. And there's almost like, I don't know, a blanket that is in front of most people and they are scared to look behind the blanket, like the Wizard of Oz. We all looked behind what actually was behind the blanket of Wizard of Oz and it was just some stinky guy. So people are wanting to believe this Wizard of Oz situation, but we have looked behind and we are now seeing the reality of it. But again, this challenges people, this upsets people. When you oppose the system in such a way, with your diet especially, people don't know how to respond and they will come for you. But let's start waking up and here are some ways to wake up, kind of help you see the situation, maybe give you some ideas of how to explain it to friends and family. For starters, I feel like bread is a big one. It was for me. First of all, we are told in the food pyramid that bread and grains should be the base of our diet. That is so frustrating to think about, those stupid food pyramids. But that was a wonderful example of how Big Food infiltrated our school and textbook system. So breaking down bread, if you look at one of the cheapest bread options at Walmart, which is the Walmart brand of white bread, it contains about 21 ingredients and has a warning that says contains a bioengineered food ingredient. This bread is able to be bought with EBT cards, which is America's food stamp program. It's a government, well, not government funded. The government doesn't fund anything. The people fund it. The people fund through their taxes for people to go and get food at the store. So people are able to buy this bioengineered food with their EBT cards. Perfect example of big food infiltrating government systems. We don't want people who are already struggling to find freedom in their health either. We want them to remain sick and struggling. So give them taxpayer funded cards to buy junk food. And then looking up a tier above this is this nature inspired bread that has nature on its label. It's the same thing, has garbage ingredients. It costs $2 more. It's essentially the same thing, but they are coming at you with a different marketing tactic. All you have to do is just read these labels. Most people wouldn't bat an eye reading them and seeing something like calcium propionate, a preservative, or vegetable oil, soybeans specifically. And the reason most people won't bat an eye at these things is because you were never taught in school to question ingredients. You were only taught to eat bread because it was at the bottom of the food pyramid. In reality, bread should only have a handful of ingredients: yeast, sugar, water, butter, flour, and salt. If you want to learn how to make homemade bread, I have an easy bread recipe for you. It's great for beginners, getting you started, your feet in the water. I will put it in my show notes. So because of big food's propaganda and our lack of educating ourselves, we settle for inflammation causing bioengineered garbage. Not only that, soy affects your hormones. That is just one of the ingredients that affects your hormones. And this long sludge of ingredients on this bread that a lot of people are eating because they don't know better, you would be better off to buy those bread ingredients, not the bioengineered ones, the yeast, salt, sugar, butter, and bake your own bread. It doesn't take much time at all. Baking bread saves you a lot of time thinking about it. Time from having to go to the grocery store, and also time from not having to go to the doctor's office later down the road when you get a mysterious cancer and wonder, where the heck did that come from? Well, my guess would be from the bioengineered garbage you were eating. Then once you have cancer, Big Pharma steps in and says, gee, this was genetic all the time. There is no way my friend in big food, you know, could have done anything about it. Okay, it definitely was not the bioengineered food. I think when they say genetic, they mean bioengineered, because that's what those ingredients are. They are genetically modified. So yes, your cancer actually was genetic now that we're talking about it, just not in the way that you think. It was from eating those genetically modified foods. Then once you have cancer from your bioengineered bread, you were eating, Big Pharma will take you in as a patient, numb you with pills, poison you with chemotherapy, and radiate your body. See how these two monstrosities go hand in hand? Like, do you see this yet? Right now, we are in the Wizard of Oz. I'm pulling back the curtain for you. And I'm showing you, it's ugly. It's not pretty. It's sad. It's horrifying. It's disgusting. But that's the truth. So you can live in the Wizard of Oz, I'm just using this metaphorically, and stare at the screen and you see the wizard and wow, you're so mesmerized, where that would be considered, you go to the store and you see the foods on the shelf and oh yeah, this is what I read in my textbook. I just need to eat bread. But you don't actually pull back the blanket and look at the ingredients and, you know, go and look at what those things are doing to you. Look up some studies, look up those individual ingredients. So we have these two different realities you can live in. And again, if you are pulling that curtain back for people, they are going to be upset with you. People can get upset because, again, you're challenging. You are challenging their reality right now. So keep that in mind. You just have to do what's best for you. Another example, like bread, that we don't think twice about is the drinks that we choose to consume. From when I was little, I remember drinks like High C, Sunny D, Capri Sun, Kool-Aids, Tang, and a variety of fruit punches and juices, pasteurized milk, and tap water. This is more frustrating to discuss because it is dismissed more easily because we just look at it and think, oh, it's a liquid. We aren't necessarily eating it. It doesn't do as much harm. That is false. I think it is disturbing that we will give Sunny D, which is marketed as a kid's drink, to our children. Our children are literally being poisoned, people. I'm pulling back the curtain for you right now. They are being poisoned. Giving your kids Sunny D, it's poison. And trying to convince yourself or anyone else is a cope defense mechanism, okay? So there's a lot of other foods people have this cope defense mechanism on. You're challenging them. You're telling them it's poison. They're like, how could I ever give my child poison? I love them. I could never. But churning through this system, they have to break down the construct, what we went through earlier, the smear campaigns, the textbooks, their teachers. They have to break through all of that to be like, oh, I was never given a foundation to learn. yes, I am giving my child poison. They will try and cope and try to convince themselves that it is okay and that they are still a good parent. Like, sure, you are still a good parent, but the truth is, like, you are poisoning your kids by giving them certain things. Even though, you know, the FDA says, oh, it's okay, but we'll get to that later. I, Gubba, will not sugarcoat this for you, but something like Sunny D will when they market their product to you. Looking at the ingredients on Sunny D, just for example, let's read through them. We got water, high fructose corn syrup, 2% or less of each of the following concentrated juices, orange, tangerine, apple, lime, grapefruit, pear, citric acid, ascorbic acid, vitamin C, thiamine, hydrochloride, vitamin B1, natural flavors, modified cornstarch, canola oil, sodium citrate, cellulose gum, sucralose, S-sulfame, potassium, neotame, sodium hexametaphosphate, potassium sorbate to protect flavor, yellow number 5 and yellow number 6. I hope you know that I am screaming internally reading these ingredients. And when they are marketing these, so think of the big food perspective, they want to put, oh, okay, water. So water's good. They're going to be like, yep, that's great. Let's put the concentrated juices up here. Yep, we have all of them listed out, orange, tangerine, because we want the parents to think they're giving their kids some good juice. You know, corn syrup, nobody's really going to look into that, but corn, people associate that with a good vegetable. And when we do citric acid, these acids, let's put vitamin C by it because people know vitamin C is good. Thiamine, hydrochloride, let's put vitamin B1 because people think that they need these vitamins. So any vitamin they see, even though they don't really know what it is, let's just put it on there. Natural flavors, they're going to see the word natural and that will make them like it better. And then we'll put the other crap down at the bottom. They're not even going to get to there because they'll be so convinced that this is what they should give their child. There is no reason any kid or any person should be drinking this. I mean, drinking food dyes. There's literal yellow number 5 and yellow number 6 on here. What is going on? Not only cancer, but ADHD. So here we give the kid an ADHD causing drink, you know, all the food dyes that have behavioral related issues, then medicate the kid with a blanket of prescription medications. Another fine example of how big food and big pharma go hand in hand. The second ingredient is high fructose corn syrup and canola oil is in there. This orange juice drink is an inflammation cancer causing drink. But again, we aren't taught to question the ingredients. We were taught that the stuff at the grocery stores is food through marketing from big food themselves. Commercials showing moms and children shopping together, healthy looking kids drinking Sunny D. Any kid who actively drinks Sunny D is not going to look healthy. There will be signs. I went to a large county fair 2 years ago, and this image is stuck in my mind of two parents coming out of the fair with 3 kids. They're pushing some of their kids in a stroller. One kid was walking beside them. All of the kids were pale, eyes sunken, dark under eye circles, and they look so sickly. Like there is even a green tint to one of the kids' faces. The parents looked the same way as they were carrying out a horde of fair foods. They had the pretzels, the fried buns. They were overweight and out of shape themselves. The hair was thin. So there are signs that show on the outsides of our bodies that something is going on. Again, this is not a judgment. This is an evaluation of the current state of our society. We are sick. I recently shared on social media that if you don't want your child to get cancer or suffer from something like ADHD, then you shouldn't feed them processed food that is shown to cause these things and affect their health. The comment section erupted. What I found surprising that instead of addressing the cancer comment, people took the ADHD comment and ran with it, saying it is genetic. One person even left a comment saying, F you, ADHD is genetic and it doesn't matter what somebody eats. You will get cancer and ADHD no matter what. So let's take a step back here and evaluate this situation. This instance is a perfect instance of how we have been conditioned to be helpless. The system, consisting of big food and big pharma, partnering with our medical system, has brainwashed us to believe curable health ailments are genetic and there is nothing that can be done. So eat your McDonald's because you can't escape your cancer. People, this is insanity. Food is medicine. So what do you expect to happen to yourself if you eat garbage food and live a toxic lifestyle? What is something that runs in the family aside from genetics? Diet. If your parents ate like garbage with processed foods and fast food, then you did most likely too. If you don't eat good, neither will your kids. Eventually, they may learn to make better choices, but they will have a slower start to that. So I have a few questions that spiral from this. Is it the diet that is running in the family that is causing the health issues? Or is it the diet causing our genes to mutate and then create problems and the health ailments? Here soon, I will share some snippets from actual research papers that talk about some ingredients and what they're doing to us in regards to cancer. Either way, we have been taught to be helpless and that we can't avoid problems since they are genetic. Is it the genes or is it the environment? Is it the genes or is it the diet? Is it the genes or the wrong form of medical care? Think about cancer and how someone is sick. What do the doctors do? They poison your body, even more with radiation, chemotherapy. This makes no sense. And I'm just asking you to think outside the box on this one. I'm pulling back the curtain. You can choose to look, see, think for yourself. And that's what I like to do on my social medias is put these things out there. And hopefully there's someone out there who is wanting to learn further. And these videos or these podcasts can inspire further research for someone. I am grateful for the people who didn't stop talking and got me thinking years ago. One mom also left a comment saying, I was mom shaming on this video where I said, don't give your kids processed foods if you don't want them to get cancer. I simply replied and asked if scientific research is mom shaming as well. These kind of people who can't confront truth and reality will instead attack the messenger like I was discussing earlier, and that's totally okay and it's expected. She carried on that she was fascinated to know the research and that I was just stating opinion. But I have come to realize that people like this will never be happy. I could show them all the papers and they would still close their eyes. They like to have the blanket there. They like to not see beyond. They don't want to see the real laws. I've also realized people don't know how to sift through actual scientific research and they rely on mainstream news networks to deliver information in the form of a TV screen. Again, I take studies with a grain of salt because you can pay people to find what you want. Bill Gates paid some scientists, quote unquote, to evaluate food and they found peanut M&Ms were healthier than beef. So see what I mean? Here is one snippet from a study done in 1978 where they evaluated food dyes and cancer. Quote, three of the transforming dyes, blue 2, green 2024, red 4, did increase tumor incidence and or mortality in at least one strain of hamster, end quote. Another study said, quote, it was observed that all of the above colorants and their combinations could cause genotoxicity to human lymphocytes, even at the permissible concentration, end quote. And another, quote, these data demonstrate that tartrazine may be harmful to health and its prolonged use could trigger carcinogenesis. End quote. I think you and I have done enough discussion today to understand that big food does not have our best interest in mind. Some people would argue and say we have the FDA and CDC to help keep the food regulated and safe. But think about this. So with what we just read on the second one that said it was observed that all the above colorants and their combinations could cause genotoxicity to human lymphocytes even at the permissible concentrations. So these food colorings are allowed in certain, quote, safe concentrations in order for them to be on the market to be sold to us. Sure, an individual Sunny D may have the safe amount of food coloring, but what about the average Western diet kid who will be eating a combination of Sunny D, Doritos, Ding Dong, 7-Up, and other food coloring processed foods throughout the day? There is no way to monitor intake, and I would assume most people are well above the safe concentration, quote unquote safe. The individual item passes the FDA check, but what about the conglomerate? If you end up sick though and with cancer from all of your food dyes and processed food, you have big pharma and our failed medical system to care for you, which is a big yikes. So throughout this podcast, I've been trying to weave in big food and big pharma so you can see how they work together. And I remember in eighth grade, we watched a documentary about how frogs were changing sexes due to chemicals in the water they were living in. Like it was so contaminated that the frogs were changing genders. I just briefly looked this up and found, quote unquote, pesticide atrazine can turn male frogs into females from UC Berkeley. Now, recent headlines say this is normal, not to worry, as frogs do this in nature. I find it interesting to dive into pesticides and herbicides and how they have played a role in population disease and health over the past century. Now we have no clue what they are spraying on our produce, our grains, so, you know, your lettuce, tomatoes, everything. Could our food be this closely linked to all the disease and mental health issues we have going on today? I absolutely think so, but that is up to you to decide. And then maybe you're thinking, well, the government could never do that. Do you really think the government would come out and take accountability for this and say, hey, actually, you know, we've been poisoning everybody. Sorry about that, guys. But this brings me back to my point that I continue to make in this podcast and my social medias. We have lost our connection with food. Our connection to food is everything. Know your farmer. Know how your food is grown. See the animals, if possible. Grow your own food. Prepare food in your home from real ingredients. Seek out community gardens and gardening groups. Connect with your community. One easy way to do this could be something as simple as using As Your Standard. I am not sponsored by them, but it's like an online non-GMO organic Costco that you don't have to pay to be a part of. And they do monthly drops where you have the chance to meet others who think similarly or have similar goals to you. And I have met some really neat people at my Azure drops. They even sell household goods like cleaning supplies, toothpaste, and other items like gardening tools and plants. Like, they are pretty neat. Another way to connect with your community could be through farmers markets. Attend them whenever your community has them and see what people are growing or selling. When you start supporting local, you start taking down big food and big pharma. Another way to take down big food is to start baking from scratch. Stop buying packaged foods and gather real ingredients like flour, sugar, baking powder, salt, yeast, and other basics in the highest quality you can, and start learning how to bake. Save carcasses and bones from dinner along with vegetable scraps and make homemade broth. That broth then can be used for soups, gravies, and more. You see how starting simple evolves into your own home network of health and food. You can do it. You are worth more than the system leads you to believe, and you can make better choices to improve your situation. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast and found it informative and thought-provoking. I want to inspire others to take control of their food, starting in their kitchens. I did it, so I know you can too. I hope you have a good day, and I'll see you next time. Bye!